It's Friday, so aside from the weekend, which hopefully we'll have some sunshine here in the Peace Region, it's also our time to check in with the Justice Minister and Solicitor General of Alberta, Mr. Doug Schweitzer. As always, Minister, thank you for being on today.
Thanks for having me on. It's good to be here.
All righty. So I guess the first question is that we'll start off with baseball right away because, you did call for a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. You know, even talking to some of the people around the station who are into baseball, they're like, I agree with that. But that was before Clayton Kershaw went down with an injury. No word on how long he's going to be out, but how much do you think that's going to impact LA going forward? I mean, that's their guy.
Well, I mean, Kershaw is always a bit hit and miss during the regular season. The big thing to them, I think they can still make it to the playoffs. If they can get him healthy again in the next month or so, I think the Dodgers will still be fine. It's the Yankees. You see the Yankees' first game? I mean, Garrett Cole looked like exactly what they paid for. And he also got Giancarlo Stanton back hitting bombs. So the Yankees are looking like the team to beat.
Yeah, they certainly do look dangerous if anyone had a chance to take a look at that yesterday. And we'll get back to another baseball question, but I guess first on the big issues. And one of the things I wanted to touch on is that we saw on both Twitter and Instagram that you had a chance with Minister Madu for Municipal Affairs to sit down and engage with some community leaders and from the black community about policing reforms and whatnot and things like that. And I saw that you definitely looked really engaged, really into it. How much of a learning lesson was that for you in terms of like some of the stories that you had to hear from those leaders?
Well, we've had many meetings so far. We've met with Indigenous leaders, leaders from the black community, and we're going to continue to engage with people across the province about the future of policing in Alberta. And the thing that's really kind of pops out to me is that people know that our police officers are amazing at what they do. The vast majority, you know, they put themselves in harm's way. You know, they're there to keep us safe. So no one really takes issue with that. It's more how do we deal with some of the bad apples? How do we make sure that the police oversight is transparent and fast enough? As well as making sure that we, you know, make sure that those bad apples aren't abusing certain police processes in a way that targets people and brings to light the tensions that lead to people with racism and other challenges that we have as a society. So we're looking at that right now. We're looking at trying to bring in some policy changes. We've heard lots of suggestions. We're researching those right now. We're looking at First Nation Police Services to see if there's further work that can be done there to enhance their work, as well as, you know, we have the Alberta Serious Incident Response Team, which does police oversight work when there's a serious incident. We're looking at, programs like that, initiatives like that, to see how we can potentially grow their work to provide, better, accountability for when there is potential police misconduct.
All right, and I know this this one question came in from a listener, and it comes down and it says, hey, Minister, the biggest concern I have is that there's been a couple of times in the last 5 years where I've had to call the police, and it takes 35 minutes for them sometimes or even more to get there. And I know, Minister, that you've mentioned as well that the response times are one of the big issues in terms of rural crime and rural law enforcement. What kind of steps, I guess they're wanting to know, can the province take in order to try and reduce those times?
Well, it's kind of like, I know you're a sports guy, so think of zone defense in basketball. You got to cover territory. So we've got about 1,600 police officers is what we started with that were covering all of rural Alberta. So with our new police funding announcement, we're going to take that number up to 1,900 on the ground. Plus with our rapid force, which has sheriffs, it has fish and wildlife officers, they're now undergoing training to be able to respond to emergencies. That'll take our number up to 2,300 covering the ground in rural Alberta. So from 1,600 up to 2,300. So a massive increase in the number of law enforcement personnel that can respond to emergency situations. That's going to cut down that response time in Alberta.
Now, Minister, another thing we had talked about before, when we were talking about the Victims of Crime Fund, we know that that budget's been increased, and as well as the scope of the fund expanded as well. Now, in terms of that, one of the increases on that was from 50 to 20%. Number one, is that something that could be increased from like 20 to 25% or to 30% over time? And is that $60 million, is that like kind of an estimate based on Victims of Crime surcharges, or is that a set number? Can it go beyond that $60 million if there are more convictions?
So it's a fee that gets tacked on to different penalties in Alberta, but the budget that we put in place this year is $60 million, and that's based off of the increase from 15% to 20% for the Victims of Crime fee. So that allows us to budget a little bit more. We do have a reserve fund as well. It's sitting at about $70 million. So we have the ability, depending on how many fees are charged in that year, that you can utilize that reserve fund as well to balance things out.
Yeah, and also, I guess as we saw this week, a couple of laws passed their third reading, Bills 26 and 27, and we know that Bill 26, obviously giving choices to Albertans, and remember talking about that for somehow, some way, the NDP called referendums undemocratic, and also the Senate Act as well, is that I believe that there is some precedence in when Alberta had Senate elections, that those lists were sent to the federal government to appoint them, and the federal government did listen. So for in terms of Bill 27, I understand there is precedence, and I'm kind of confused as far as Bill 26 at how giving people more say would be anti-democratic.
Well, you know what? The NDP think that referendums, which give power right to people to vote on the future of policy initiatives in Alberta, is somehow undemocratic. Doesn't make any sense to me. Our government is bringing forward the largest democratic reform package to empower Albertans. And referendums is just one piece. The other one that you mentioned is Senate elections. That'll happen next October at the same time as our municipal elections. We're going to elect new senators here. Some of the best senators Alberta's had in recent memory are Senator Doug Black and Senator Scott Tanis, who were both elected by Albertans, and they're serving in Ottawa right now. And they're doing amazing work. They're the ones that led the charge in the Senate against the No More Pipelines law, against the anti-tanker ban that the federal government put in. So they've been fighting for the future of Alberta. So we're bringing in those initiatives. Plus, we also got recalls coming, citizens' initiatives as well. So recall gives Albertans the right, if their local MLA is not doing the job, to trigger a by-election to force them to get reelected, as well as citizens' initiatives, which give people the right to bring forward policy initiatives. They can go get signatures, and they can put policy initiatives on the ballot in Alberta.
So, okay, let's throw an outlandish example out of here, because as you did mention, I'm a sports guy, and I want to see a major league ballpark, for example, built in Lacreed. Now, obviously, there'd be some logistical issues about putting a major league ball team in Lacreed, or even in Alberta for that matter, but if I actually garnered enough signatures, based on what I'm hearing, I could actually bring that discussion could actually come to the legislature as out there as it is.
Well, I mean, lots of people could put forward different ideas. I think that one would struggle to get the signatures.
I agree.
But you know, lots of different initiatives could come forward from, you know, infrastructure projects. You could have different initiatives around the future of education, healthcare, different things that people believe are important. And it's up to them to decide that. They also could bring forward constitutional referendums if they want. If they're not happy with different things, they could bring forward different policy ideas. And it's up to Albertans to decide if they want to sign the paperwork to bring that initiative forward or not.
All right. And then here is one from Stephen up north, and he says, "Hey, Minister, I am a law-abiding gun owner, and as you know, the Liberal government has passed a law that basically makes law-abiding gun owners now in possession of illegal property. His question is, would this even last 2 seconds, in his exact words, 2 seconds in a constitutional challenge?"
Well, we looked at it from a provincial standpoint, and actually Ralph Klein got into a big constitutional fight with the then Liberal government at the time over firearms, and the courts decided that this is largely federal jurisdiction. But that being said, there are different citizen groups out there, gun clubs, that are actually launching constitutional challenges. We think that they actually may have better standing than even the government to take a run at this piece of legislation and the regulatory reforms that the federal government's brought in. So we're looking at potentially supporting some of their work and their lawsuits.
Okay, good. So at this point, I guess it would be safe to say that your department is keeping a track of those cases. I remember we mentioned one in BC where a small business owner, that this one was flagged by the Canadian Taxpayers Association or Federation.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, and I've seen, and you, I'm sure, have seen in Fresno Minister, a lot of these little cases that came up. So is there a possibility, as you kind of said, like an ability to maybe piggyback onto the case or support it? And if you were to support it, how could the province possibly support that?
Well, we're looking at either intervening or potentially giving financial support to legitimate cases here in Alberta that are being brought forward. So we're taking a look at it. We're monitoring it. And again, I mean, we're frustrated with this firearm policy. I mean, we told the federal government that this is the wrong direction. We've encouraged them to go after the illegal guns coming into Canada from the United States. That's where the focus should be. It should be on organized crime, because that'll keep our communities safe. This current policy just criminalizes law-abiding Albertans.
All right, and I guess now we'll get back on some other things. You still have some other bills before the House, so just curious to know, did 26 and 27, did that receive royal assent, or was that just the third reading that was passed?
It would have received royal assent just yesterday with the Lieutenant Governor. It was her last ceremony in the legislature, because we're getting a new Lieutenant Governor in Alberta.
Okay, good. So that's a good way. And then I believe that something like 10 laws, and I know we're signed in, and you got to be proud of this, I guess, as a government, because I know talking to MLA Todd Lowen, who, when he checks in with us at some point, he said the average was something about 9 pieces of legislation between Canada and all the province, and safe to say, Alberta's well ahead of that. So it seems like you guys are moving a mile a minute in the Edmonton area.
Yeah, we're just keep motoring. I think we're going to end up passing 34 new bills this spring, and the fall agenda looks just as busy. So we got lots of work to do this week, sorry, this month and this year ahead, so it's going to be busy.
All right, now we'll go back to baseball, to quick baseball questions to kind of end it on that note. And I guess the first one is that we were looking at the Houston Astros, and we already knew that it happened. Jose Altuve and others were pegged with some fastballs. Do you have any sympathy for any of those Astro players that may get plunked throughout this year?
No, not much. The thing that'll be interesting, though, because there's no crowd, is that people are actually going to hear the thud when the 95-mile-an-hour fastball hits their ribs. So it'll be interesting to see the sound effects that you can actually hear on TV.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, definitely. I don't think there's a lot of people who are sympathizing that. And I always would wonder, because we were asking last week if you would consider, if the Dodgers called you, if you'd consider going down. And yeah, I guess if a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity like that were to come out. So let's just say if your pitcher is getting a less generous strike zone than your opponent, and this has become a constant theme, and your players are starting to argue. If you're coming out, are you calm, cool, and collective like Joe Torre, or are you kicking up some dirt like Lou Piniella, somewhere in between?
Oh, you got to go out there like Lou Piniella. That's the legendary status where you're tossing bases. And if you're a coach, I mean, that's your time when you got to go out there and defend your players. And that's if you're going to get thrown out of a game, you might as well make it colorful.
Exactly. You know what? Then that way, you know, it's going to be immortalized in a YouTube click for forever.
Exactly. You got to cover up the home plate with dirt. You got to make it at least worth your while.
I figured as much. As always, Minister, we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Thanks again.
All right, this is Justice Minister and Solicitor General Doug Schweitzer with the Province of Alberta on the Trending 55 Hot Seat.